Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I got to tell you, I am super excited. Now, if it sounds a little noisy, I'm going to tell you why. I'm at the South Melbourne Markets. We've just attended an Are You OK Day event, and we're in a little Spanish deli, and I'm with one of my best friends, Miguel Maestre. How are you, mate?
Oh, this is amazing. Should I speak really close to the microphone? Or?
Yes. and stick to English just for this interview.
You forgot as well as saying that I'm very tall. I'm very good looking, Barry.
He's incredibly...
Because people don't know me, they have to actually... picture myself, isn't it, in the heads.
If you don't hear from me again, this will be me, girl, me, Australia. Mate, I'm going to start off with a couple of questions for you about Are You OK Day. We know there's been some horrific losses within the hospitality industry this year. So we'll start off slow. Tell me, what does Are You OK Day mean to you?
Well, we're going to start as slow as you want to, but I can tell you that this year I put myself in the line to raise $50,000 for Are You OK? In Dancing with the Stars. And I got kicked out the first one. So just starting slow, I guess. I was trying to, you know, show people, show support for mental health. And here I am getting kicked out. I mean, so devastated. I actually need a mental health support myself. I guess it's like, you know, it's close to my heart. Because as a chef in the industry, you know, I learned how to cook in a really rough environment. I became a chef when I was 18 years old, like a few years ago, and I'm still in my 30s, Barry, as you know.
Go
pretty
on.
Young. I know I look old, but like, this is what happens when you're in the kitchen.
This is what amazes me about you. Somehow you maintain a youthful exuberance. Is that just your energy that it comes out in your skin?
Or I love the way you say exuberance.
Exuberance.
I think you always, you know, in love with life. That's why I think you keep that excitement. But coming back a little bit to the first question, because I guess if I start to answer you one question, I go into the next one, I won't answer to any, and then we're just having a great time here.
It'll be a tough day for me, but we'll get through
it. I think the most important thing for you, okay, as a chef, we work in really serious, stressful environments, and I become a chef in a really rough environment when if you don't cook the fish and it was crispy enough, the head chef will throw it to your face again.
Mm.
And people will actually in the kitchen will be crying. And you need to prove yourself in an environment of tough guys when you have to play your best game.
What is happening this weekend is very important to you and me particularly. It's Father's Day.
Yeah! I'm glad that you asked me to do the...
I haven't asked you anything
yet. I'm glad that you asked me to do the podcast. I wasn't the first one like Chris Brown, because Chris Brown have a cat and we have children. So I'm the right guy for this. I guess you couldn't have them for Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, since I've known you, which is just a tad over 8 years now, when I first met you, you and Sasha had little Claudia. She was just a baby. Since then, I've had the twins, Bennett and Arabella, and then along came Morgan. Now, he's a terror, but does anybody else in your family have the energy that you have?
Oh, my children are both full on.
They
Claudia
are.
Has got already the energy and the strength of a superhero. And, like, I think something just really, really exciting. Like, me and Morgan is just full on. Morgan is like a little bit of dynamite waiting to be light up every morning. And when he explodes, make sure you stay away.
You know, the kids are beautiful kids. And isn't life beautiful? I mean, I'm sitting here talking to Miguel, thinking about it. What a beautiful balance children are of the mum and dad. And like you said, Claudia and Morgan are robust and tough and first in line to have fun, but as my children are. But when they come together with our children, Claudia is the most gentle person
caring.
In the world and caring. She takes the little Arabella by the hand and leads around. Bennett just idolises her. But again, a combination of you and Sasha, as I hope my children are, myself and Leone, come together for something beautiful. That's the legacy of life, isn't it?
But, you know, like, Barry, talking about legacy, like the biggest, you know, when I get up in the morning and I get the most scared every day is that make sure that legacy keeps, you know, like making the right thing to be a good dad, because yeah. nobody teaches you how to be a good dad. So
as you're saying that, I'm thinking of some of the pressures I felt being a dad. And I remember a good friend of mine came to me one day when his first child was about to be born. And he said to me, mate, I'm struggling. I'm really, really concerned. I said, why, Pete? And he said, well, the simple fact is, I know I'm not who my dad was. I'm not that strong man. I'm not capable like him. And I'm about to have a baby. I'm about to have a child. And I'm scared stiff. And I explained to him, and you and I have spoken about this, I explained to him that when you were born, your dad was just like you. It's the trials and tribulations of raising a family that makes a strong family. And that's the beautiful thing about it. You're a chef, and in my opinion, one of the best in the world. Who's cooking Sunday morning? You or Sash or the kids?
Always cooking.
You will always cook.
Yeah, and always. And now we're in this age that the children gets more involved with the cooking and the things like, you know, flip the pancakes or mix the pancake batter is something that they want to fight. You know, I want to flip the pancakes. Yeah. He's like almost in the, you know, he's like they're really interested because now they're more capable. They got more motor skills. Yeah. They like to, I got a little step with Morgan and Step, and he's up to the height of the bench.
I love that.
And he gets really into it. And I guess, you know, like they are in a really good age to start to get motivated. And in my house, all we talk about is food. Let's don't kid ourselves, Barry. I'm not good at nothing else that is not cooking. So all I told to my children is what I'm good at and what I know, and that's food.
Give me an insight to the Miguel Maestre family Sunday morning. What's the recipe?
The recipe is, well, I can make pancakes really quick, Barry, because I'm a real chef.
I think you do a lot of things really quick.
He's asking Sasha. I like to get up and do pancakes from scratch. I get the children to help me to put them all together, crack the egg, you know, fold it into the pancake batter. And I think when it's time to flip them, you know, like the children will fight for the chance to do that. A little bit of fresh butter, a little squeeze of lemon, and, you know, a whole stack of fresh pancake. I make coffee. I like to make coffee, ground my beans. As you can see, I post a lot of posts of coffee. I get complaints from you and Chris on how many posts I do of coffee.
No, it's more the selfies of yourself I'm complaining about. But...
Well, I'm having a coffee, man.
The thing I love about Miguel, you can always rely on him. If he spends even 1 minute in a pool somewhere, there'll be a selfie. Flex to the ultimate selfie at the end of the pool.
Well, Barry, I guess I learned from the best.
That's it.
Well, empanada here. That's the empanadas arriving.
Here comes the empanadas. Just talk the people listening through what you've ordered for us this morning, mate.
So we got some empanadas. We're in a little Spanish deli, so I guess we'll make the best of Spain. We got some empanadas, mero chorizo, and that's chorizo with fe. And I'm getting closer to the microphone so you can hear the spillage. Chorizo. And we have Spanish chips. We got jamón, a little bit of queso, that's cheese. And yes, we're having a glass of Rioja.
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 Thank you. One thing I do know, and not a lot of people know this, Miguel Maestre was so naughty when he was a little boy. His dad tried everything, and then he tried putting Miguel in an all-girls school. Talk me through it.
That is a true story. In high school, I was a real piece of work. I wasn't like the most exemplar child. My mom and dad, they're really lovely people, and I was a tough geek for them, and I had to recognize that. I used to escape a lot and go and do
escape.
Escape, yeah, let's go to schools, skip school. My mom and dad put me in this nun school, the high security with all the nuns. And in the nuns, the Jesus Maria, that is like a private school, they will check every class. You had to sign in, sign out. And it was pretty much like my dad said, you won't be able to escape here. They were doing an experimental thing that was introducing boys into a girls' school. So in my class in high school, I'm talking about the third year of high school, it was 36 girls and myself.
Wow, sounds like me and Eos in the 80s.
But the thing is, my dad though, they will be like, you know, oh, you want to stay there because they'll check you out, you never be able to escape. I had the time of my life. I didn't want to go anywhere. I used to get really nice shirts to go to school and make sure my hair always looked good. You know, let's, Barry, 36 girls.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. A tough gig.
And you still didn't get a girlfriend. So tough what gig. You did after that is you couldn't escape school. You finished school, did very well, as I understand. You decided, against better judgment of your parents, that you were heading off to Scotland. Is that right?
Yeah, I became a chef. I wanted to do it on my own terms, and I wanted to do it far away from home, so I didn't have... My mum and dad helped me in everything in life, so I wanted to do it all in my own terms.
I'm just guessing, if I spent a year with 36 women, I'd probably want to escape to another continent as well. So, was there any of that in it? Was there any true loves back at high school?
Not really. I
have never in my life seen Miguel Maestre stump for words. I've just asked him about his girlfriend in high school.
No, I only had one serious girlfriend when I was young, and that was a long time ago, and after years found Sasha, and Sasha changed my life.
That's it.
Yeah.
Practically a virgin.
Yeah.
For the very
first
time.
That's what I understand, like Madonna say. But the thing is, I went to Scotland because that was the only place where we knew. Everybody said, why would you not go to London? That is the most normal choice, because London scene of cooking was amazing then. But I went to Edinburgh because my friend, one of the cousins, that was studying there. I didn't speak any English. The first time I arrived to Scotland.
What's changed?
But not much. But the thing is, when I needed somewhere to stay for 15 days, so at least I could get used to find a job, to find a place, to try and to understand a little bit, you know, like the country. I didn't know anything about it. And I went to Edinburgh, and I learned English in the Scottish kitchen. That's why I speak funny.
Yeah, he speaks beautifully. And I'm going to say this. A lot of people come up to me and say, do you understand Miguel? And I say, I do. I understand every word he says. And here, I'm putting on my soft cap here, and I can feel a lump in my throat already. The beautiful thing about Miguel is this. If you take out of your vocabulary anything negative, it reduces half the words you have to worry about. This guy only ever has nice things to say about people. And it only took me about 5 weeks to realize that. He's one of the most beautiful people I know. But interestingly enough, Carlos, who's only your brother, the handsome one, has only
ever... Spanish guy that lost his car, Carlos.
He's only been in Australia about half the time as you, but speaks English.
Yeah, but he went to uni, Barry. I went straight to a Scottish kitchen.
This is still my podcast.
Oh, sorry, but he went to university. I have no degree, nothing.
And this is what I love, and Miguel often brings this accent out. Miguel didn't learn to speak English in Australia or England. He learned to speak English in Scotland. So he's got a beautiful Scottish English accent.
Spanish accent.
Give me your best haggis.
I'm going to say, sorry, I need an empanada, so it's really hard to breathe and eat at the same time.
Yes.
But I'll give you my best one. I'm going to give you this one. Sons of Scotland, I'm William Wallace. Oh, I can rag you about like an empty drag suit.
It just doesn't get any better than that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Georgia Love.
And I'm Shira Taft.
And we are the hosts of The Reality Bite this season, of course, talking about all things The Bachelor.
It's Cocktails and Roses. It's Matt Agnew, the astrophysicist trying to find love amongst beautiful girls from Australia who are throwing themselves at him. And we're going to be talking about it every week.
Watch The Bachelor 7:30 Wednesdays and Thursdays and catch us on The Reality Bite.
And ask for a rose.
You've gone to an all-girls school. Didn't get lucky in 4 years. You went to Scotland and you met the love of your life. That was an amazing event. Talk us through that. Sasha was front of house, you were back of house.
Yeah, so my first job I work in a really fancy place called Indigo Yard.
Ooh.
And it was a really fancy place. Now, because I didn't speak any English, to get into the kitchen, I had to work at the door. I got a job as a bouncer. Because I was brown belt of judo. So I got a job. Somebody told me, Miguel.
It wasn't just a mass thing.
No, I was very good looking when I was 18, Barry. It wasn't like now. I had long hair.
I've seen photos.
I was a big guy.
Yeah.
I look very different than now.
The thing with beauty, it's very subjective, isn't it?
Sorry, I mean, Barry. Let me finish my answer. You asked me, it's your podcast. Let me finish. Thank you. I became a bouncer to get into the kitchen because the place was the place I wanted to work.
Right.
The thing is, when I was in Scotland, before I could work as a chef, I had to do a lot of work experience, and I was working in a lot of places for free. to trying to get into the kitchens because I could not speak the language. So working as a bouncer in this place, Sasha was a waitress.
Beautiful.
And I got the best story with Sasha and I. So I didn't speak any English the first time I met my wife. It was my girlfriend. It wasn't even my girlfriend then.
From what Sasha says, her happiest ever conversation.
I know, but we got on so well for 3 years because I got not a clue what she was saying. But the thing is, this is a true story. The first thing I said to my wife, could not speak one word of English, and Sasha came to me, and I used to write sentences to tell people the next day overnight when I used to go to sleep.
Oh.
And I got this sentence that you got beautiful eyes. And Sasha say that it was quite cute because I came in and say, oh, hello, how are you? You got beautiful eyes. And she spoke for so long. I got not a clue what she say after. But I was trying the same sentence to all the waitresses. And when I don't know at the time, is that Sasha was in the staff room talking to all the waitresses. And Sasha said, like, what a loser that bouncer has told me. He got, like, beautiful eyes. Oh, he told me too. Oh, he told me too. And what they didn't know is that my English was so limited that I used to practice this with everyone to see the reaction, to trying to start conversations. Like, are you okay? And I believe, like, it's funny now that you look at that back, long time,
yeah,
and understand that I didn't know what my wife was telling me for, like, the first 6 months of our relationship was just my good looks and my breakfast.
Could you have ever imagined that you were going to end up on TV?
Never. I actually, the relationship I have with TV, I never looked for TV. TV found me. If I'll tell you the funniest thing about TV is, like, I was working for our competition now with the Homes and Gardens.
Mm.
Fast Eddie was my head chef, and I was working in the background. They used to film with the Homes and Gardens on Mondays in the restaurant, and I'll be in the background with my music and my, you know, myself and people, all the camera guys used to come and say, oh, Miguel, how are you? Cook me some muffins. And the sound guys love me because I always give them food. And TV people is always so hungry, you know that?
Yeah.
And so I guess one day the producer said, Miguel, I'd like you to be on a screen. I think you'll be very good on TV. And I did this, I helped Fast Eddie to do this segment.
So you were an assistant on Better Homes and Gardens?
Yeah, that was really my first TV stint. I'm from there all the way to here with you, Barry, doing the podcast.
You also, one of my favourite shows is the show that you do with Gary. And
The Boys Weekend.
The Boys Weekend.
So
when did that happen?
So I did Better Homes and Gardens for nearly a few months. After that, I started to do a few things in radio. And one of the producers of radio said, Miguel, I think your potential is massive. You should have an agent.
Yeah.
And I was just still cooking in the kitchen.
You've got a voice for TV.
You got a voice for TV, yeah, and a face for radio. And I guess the way it all turned out, I have a meeting with an agency of chefs. And I start working for this agency, Chefs Inc., and was with all the big guys like Manu, Gary, all the famous chefs of the country were working there. And the next day I got approached to this TV show. They needed a Spanish chef, because it was four chefs from four different nationalities.
Yeah, right.
And Manu was locked in, Gary was locked in, Adrian Richardson was locked in, and these is people I used to watch in Ready Steady Cook.
Yeah.
And Sally said, Miguel, you want to come and do this show? And this show is sold in over 150 countries all around the world.
It's one of my favourites. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of our show because you guys all get on so well. Ready, Steady, Cook, I went on that and won. You know that, don't you?
Well,
I chopped onions like onions have never been chopped that day. And they didn't use them, though, do they? I remember that. Everything I chopped up wasn't used in the show. Now, you did Ready, Steady, Cook. You're assistant to Fast Eddie. But then I remembered I'd spent a year on The Renovators. And I was asked to attend a casting with Amanda Keller, who everybody in the world knows. And my wife knew of you and said that he was flamboyant, handsome, but there was something
tall,
a little crazy.
Tall.
And, of course, the Bondi vet, Chris Brown. I want everybody to understand this. I was as nervous as hell. But we walked into this little room in Bondi Beach, and what the producers wanted to do, the executives wanted to do, they basically wanted to see if we would get on.
If we click.
And if we would click, and they have these questions that they're going to ask and see how one responds to the other. Well, I'm not joking. Amanda says it's like we were a pod of dolphins that came together. But the four of us sat there. They asked one question, didn't they? And then we did not stop talking for 4 hours.
Some of us didn't stop talking until now. You're still talking,
still
Barry.
Still talking. No, but we did. And it was I was nervous when I walked in, but I was in awe when I walked out. And where we walked out to was to the Bondi Icebergs. We had 4 hours of just chatting and talking. Then we went and had drinks and dinner. Miguel again ordered everything at the bar there. And that, for me, was the start of an amazing friendship. I wasn't sure where the TV show was going to go, but I want our listeners to understand this. I sat next to Amanda Keller, and I know I'm interviewing Miguel, and this is a little bit about me, but I sat next to Amanda Keller for about 4 weeks before I realised that this wasn't a dream, you know? And I just thought...
And your hair was so long as well.
My hair was so long and flowing in the breeze, that sort of thing. But what happened was, it was about the fifth show in for me, and Chris and Miguel had... You really buddied up really quick. But there was a story on that Miguel went to New Zealand. And I kept listening to Miguel. And as I said, in the early days, you had to listen closely to get everything. But, you know, and I hadn't reached to the boys as much as I had with Amanda. But on that show, I remember it. And I watch it over and over again because Miguel starts talking about the fact that he was going to go over to New Zealand and meet these big, tough Maori guys. And he was going to go fishing with them and get the mussels for them. And then he was going to cook for them. And I thought, you know, these New Zealanders, you know, if he mucks around like he mucks around here, they're going to get the shits real quick. But I just watched him hypnotize them, not just with his skills in the kitchen, but his beautiful nature. And I remembered that day, our fifth show in, I watched that segment. I looked at Miguel, looked at Chris, realized where I was, and I thought, you know what? We're onto something really good here. These are good people, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
And it's been 8 years since then, Barry. Can
you haven't improved a lot since then, have you?
Yeah, Barry, well, your head has changed many times. You know,
mine
has. Ourselves.
Let's face it.
It's been up and down, long, short, chicken. Dawn.
Yeah, the whole lot. And as it turns out, I've still got more than Miguel.
But no, Barry, the thing is with Barry...
Three bouts of chemo, I've still got more head than Miguel.
Barry's treatment in chemo, it all fall off. And I was saying, yeah, you got Barry, you can never kid ourselves. You never... joke over my head anymore. I mean, grow out all again, even better.
Besides my hair, what has been your best memory on the living room?
I think the best memory, that'll be really hard to, it's like choosing your own favorite child. But I think one of them, the thing that I remember and I treasure with the most, hold it close to my heart, is that stories that we have had the chance to go, the four of us, overseas. When we went into the Hawaii, in that hotel, and we had to sing that a song was taking the piss, and then
with ukuleles,
so,
we were playing ukuleles.
So we're supposed to do one scene. There was like 5 seconds, and just pretend to play the ukuleles. I love being in front of people. Barry, Amanda, and Gringo is so different than me like that. They don't like to be ridiculous in front of people. I thrive on that. So I remember going in the stage, and Amanda, I remember Barry, Amanda saying, "Please, Miguel, don't do your typical show. Just do it quickly, so we can go." As long as we hit the stage, it's a whole audience. The whole hotel is watching us. I said, this is my chance. I say, ladies and gentlemen, remember I started screaming, singing La Bamba. And these guys were clinching. I could feel you guys so embarrassed.
Literally clinching.
I wanted to stretch that moment as long as possible and just taste it. And just have it for entree, have it for main, have it for dessert, and repeat again. And it's one of the things that I remember for a long time. All the people watching us in that hotel with the Hawaiian shirts, we're playing ukulele in a hotel and we're making a movie for Hollywood. Come on, Barry.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And
you're a builder, and I got the chop onions for a living. Pretty amazing.
I am a builder, and I'm not overly fond of cooking shows, which is interesting, but I do love watching Miguel cook. There's a certain energy that I just love. But just recently, and on the show on the living room tonight, you and I get to work together on one of my renovations. And so we surprise a dad for Father's Day, and you come out and give a bit of a hand with a hard labour, and we cooked up a meal. But you were shocked by a few things there, weren't you?
Well, I was shocked, Barry, that I was going to say, am I allowed to swear in this? No. We always take the piss on you. Because Barry always say, I've been all day, blah, blah, working so hard in location. So I was there watching Barry working so hard. He was sweating, building this thing with his hammer, painting this thing, digging. I arrive and make a pizza, and everybody's clapping. Miguel is here, and Barry is like, I've been here working all day, my ass, and Miguel just coming here, cook one pizza, and everybody's clapping. He did it in 3 minutes. And it's one of the moments that you can actually realize how Barry it gets into you. I got a lot of respect for you. I know you were working and I was trying to put a 50 cent things in your crack when you were painting that thing, but like, you know, you do work. And the most amazing thing that I don't get to present when I'm in the studio is we never get to see your reveals. We never get to really see from first in business class in the nosebleed section. We never get to see that in first impression. And to see the family walking in a house that they have not seen for 3 days, and how the house was like a big thing of dirt in there, and suddenly was this amazing garden. And you change these people's, like, it's like almost changing their lives. They come back to the homes and everything was so beautiful. And see the face, just being there and see the face. Mm. And they were crying. And, you know, that's pretty amazing, Barry. Like,
yeah, nice. I never take it for granted that we're invited into people's homes and we share their story with a whole bunch of other people that invite us into their homes every Friday night. The show hopefully will go on forever. Tell me this, Miguel. You're close to 40. You only look in your 20s, but you're close to 40. You started off in Spain. You ventured across to Scotland, then I landed in TV. You've married a beautiful woman. You've learned a lot of lessons along the way, especially about illegal immigration. And
paying tax.
I want you to think about Morgan's grandson. I want you to think about this. Imagine Morgan's grandson shares your DNA and wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you. At this time in your life, and just think about what we've done here today for Are You OK Day, at this time of your life, what's the one lesson that you've learned that you want to tell Morgan's grandson right now?
Oh, I can tell you right now. I don't even have to think about it. Just to be a good person. Sasa and I, every day, we just want to build nice people. And I can tell you, what you give to life, it comes back to you in return thousands of times. And it was hard work for me. And that's what just to be a good person, just to aim high, keep dreaming, keep chasing, don't just be unhappy. Life is too short to be unhappy. Just be a good person. When you're a nice person, the universe does something amazing to you back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't waste your time, do negative stuff. You focus on the positive. Life just kisses you back. And if you have moments that you fall down, you know, you don't defeat when you fall down. You defeat when you don't get up.
That's it.
So just get up and keep moving forward, because that's how winning is done. And I think that's the lesson. That's what I do every day. I fail all the time and I get up. And then I get punched and I get up and I get punched and I get up. I sound like Rocky right now.
You do. But it reminds me of one of my favorite stories about my life on TV, and it was my first Logies. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm a bit of a, I stand on the side of the dance floor. I'd never go onto the dance floor. I've always been too embarrassed to do karaoke, but I'd love to. I've always wanted to get on the dance floor and go crazy, but I wouldn't. And Miguel, being the person that he just described, that beautiful, caring about others more than himself person, I remember our first Logies together, and he said, come on, Baz, let's get out to the dance floor. And I said, no, mate, I don't dance. He said, Bazza, he said, you're a builder, I'm a chef, we're at the Logies, we're going to dance all night. Mate, I've enjoyed this dance, I love you, and thanks for joining me on Hammer at Home.
Barry, you're a beautiful man. Thanks for hiring me. And I guarantee this podcast is going to be his better than the one that you did with Dr. Chris Brown.
Listen, if you want to hear more about my dance moves or Miguel's story, we'd love to hear from you at hammerathome@network10.com.au. Now, there has been a mistake with the email and we weren't getting the messages. So if you sent a message, please resend that message to hammerathome@network10.com.au. And I'll answer. And I love the fact that you're sending in those reviews. I love a 5-star review. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Take it easy, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.